Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, yes, it is that time of the week. Actually, it was yesterday. Yesterday, usually kiss the baby day, but...
Yeah, we didn't care.
No, we were kind of kissing the baby on the fills, unfortunately, after that bun attempt. So we pushed it back to today. All right, you guys know kiss the baby. We have the goal here of trying to create the perfect playoff field by eliminating teams week by week. The catch, though, of course, Hugh, is you have to eliminate teams before they actually get eliminated. Mm-hmm. Can't wait, you know, hold the worst team until week 17
like
or whatever.
Like you did last year, yeah.
No, so you got to be a little proactive about it. So we go through week by week. The callers have their own team. And today, playing for the caller team, and the callers are up first today, is John. John and Chalfon is up. So, John, you are up today for the callers. John, how you doing, buddy?
Great. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, John.
All right. So, Kyle, who have the callers eliminated already?
All right. So, eliminated from the field per the callers is the Saints, Jaguars, Titans, and Vikings.
Yeah, that Jag one.
The Jag one.
They might be in trouble with that. All right, John. As representing the callers, which NFL team are you eliminating today?
I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks.
Whoa.
Wow. That's a Hugh Douglas-level bold one.
Seattle.
John, I like it. Well, they did lose on Sunday, right? They lost the Bucs, so maybe he thinks the collapse is coming. Wow. All right, John. So, John, and we appreciate you, buddy. You're in the mix for the prize at the end of the season. It's very bold.
Callers have a strong.
Seattle looks pretty good.
Callers have a strong one.
Sam Darnold looks like he's playing. All right, so Seattle eliminated there. That puts up Kyle as the second pick today.
I appreciate the layup because I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns, who just traded the quarterback that they've been starting.
It's pretty good.
And now their seasons, you know, they're already in last place. Season's down to one of two rookies.
Yes.
They're going to end up finishing the season. Yes. The Browns are out.
Yes. Browns are cooked. All right, Hugh, you're up for pick number three.
I'm a little torn with this one because my heart is telling me one thing, but I don't want to do that. Even though I'm looking at the standings and I know that, you know, it's inevitable that it's probably going to be really, really bad. But I guess I'm going to have to pick them.
Who?
The New York Jets.
Oh yeah, I mean it's here. They're winless. They're the only winless team in the sport.
I don't really understand the hesitation.
'95.
You know what? Because I was going to go between them and the Dolphins, right? But it's like, do you go for the sure thing? Because I got caught. I got caught like that last year. Yeah. Remember? So yeah,
you know it's bad. When they're referencing your era of Jets football.
It's not my era. It's the Kotai era.
It's your era.
You played then. Who drafted you?
I don't remember. As I look at my pen. I don't want to look at the camera.
If my football memory serves, it was the combination of Rich Kotite and Dick Haley. Am I right about that?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you don't want
to tell us. By the way, just came in. Flacco is going to start for the Bengals.
Who didn't see that coming?
Well he did just get traded yesterday.
But who didn't see that coming, though? Yeah, of course he's going to play.
He did just beat the Packers 3 weeks ago as a Brown.
You're going to beat him twice?
Has that ever happened before? The same quarterback?
The same team?
In like 3 week span? That'd be wild. Yeah, they're like 15-point underdogs for a reason. All right, so you take out the New York Jets. Here's what I'm going to go with this week. I haven't taken them yet, and I know they're coming off a win, but it took a calamity of events for this team to win a single football game. Give me the Titans this week.
Tennessee.
I mean, Tennessee's so bad, they needed Jonathan Gannon to have to hit a player on the sideline and get fined $100,000 to win a football game.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, that guy dropping that football. Why does this keep happening, by the way? It's like every week someone drops the ball before they go into the end zone. I don't understand. Doesn't it seem like you just run over the goal line and then drop the ball?
I mean, and it's not what you're taught because you're taught to cross the goal line.
Of course.
First, and then drop it. But yeah.
I mean, as someone who's scored a touchdown,
I
held on to that football for dear life, man. Because it's like I'd never probably touch the football again. And guess what? I didn't.
I had an interception,
but I never hit the pay dirt.
No.
Never hit pay dirt.
That was it. That was the one. All right. We appreciate John playing along with Kiss the Baby, and we'll continue it next week. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. As we discuss hope, belief, and what you're feeling, of course, this segment brought to you by McGurk's Pub and Grill. Postseason baseball's back at McGurk's. Bring the red rally towels, the bat spikes, and the champagne showers. Catch all the postseason action at McGurk's. You can watch it at your favorite McGurk's tonight, 9:08 first pitch. All right, let's go to the phones, and then we'll get into the lineup tonight if Harrison Bader can't go. Frank in Savannah's up. Hey, Frank.
How you doing, sir?
Frank, what's up, buddy?
Not a whole lot. It's my first time calling in, and I just wanted to say something to Hugh. I know you've been through a lot, man, and you're an inspiration, how funny you are, and I just, you know, God bless you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
No problem. So I wanted to call in and remind you guys what Kevin Millar said back in 2004 for the Boston Red Sox. In the ALCS, they were down 3-0. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
That's all right. No, you're right.
No,
it's the greatest. It's the greatest comeback in baseball history. Yep.
And nobody gave him a chance. And they were down 3-0. And he said before the game, and I Googled before I called y'all to make sure, he said to his teammates, do not let us win this game. And so I'm hoping right now, the reason I called in, first time caller, is I'm hoping Topper, I'm hoping Schwarber, I'm hoping Harper, Turner, somebody hears this and tells these guys to go around to each other tonight and say, they better not let us win this game. Because if they win tonight and they go to that game four, you get a little bit of pressure on the Dodgers. If they win that game four, then everything's on the Dodgers at that point. Then they're being called the choke artists. And that Yankees team, and the way that they lost and they collapsed against them, in my opinion, that was a greater dynasty than this Dodgers team.
I agree, but Frank, I think it's an interesting parallel because for my money, this Dodgers team is the best collection of players since those Yankees teams, right? Like the best combination of greatness.
Yep.
And Frank, to your point, that team, that Yankee team, it went A-Rod and Jeter and all those guys, they blew it. Gary Sheffield, they had great players, and they blew it.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about how it ended for the Red Sox in 03, and again, I'm a diehard Phillies fan, Eagles fan. I came up, brought all my family up from Georgia. We went to the Mets game one of the 4-game sweep. I think that they got to just take it, like he said, each game go 1-0. But again, it's been done before. You know, it's been done. And that ALCS, that had never been done. Being down 2-0, it sucks. Don't get me wrong. I was very upset. But if you think about the Red Sox, the year before, they had the heartbreak. Remember, they had game 7 in the bag, and then they choked. And remember, they had the weight of 89 years of not winning the World Series. So I just called in for, you know, hopefully these guys hear me. Somebody gets it to them that all you got is today. And if you win tonight, it changes everything. And so that's my big hope, and that's why I wanted to call in.
Frank, good point. Good phone call. Yeah, I mean, look, it has happened. It's happened, you know, about 10 times in baseball history in the 5-game series where a team has been down 0-2 and come back. It absolutely has happened. I don't think this is a matter of, like, impossibility. It's just they need to give us something to believe in. We need a win. We need more than anything. We need the offense to come alive so we feel like, all right, here we go.
That's it. You need to get a couple good hits, man, and put some points on the board and take it from there. And worry about let the game come to you, because like I said, they didn't get blown out in both of these games, but they did play tight down the stretch. And I think if you can just get past that, you'll be fine.
Yeah, well, you can. And they have the ability to do it now. They need to play better. They need to get a well-pitched game today out of whoever's out there for whatever amount of innings. We also need to figure out the lineup. All right, Hugh, let's talk through what they're going to do tonight. We all hope Harrison Bader plays.
Yes.
We all hope he's going to be out there.
Yes.
The reality is Harrison Bader is hurt.
Mm.
And the other night, I thought it was a good sign on one sense, but a not great sign on the other. So the good sign was he was able to pinch hit, right? Like, he's capable of doing that. But as soon as he got the single, they took him right out of the game, right? Like, that tells me he can't run. And, Hugh, if you can't run, I don't know how you play the outfield. So my anticipation is he's not in the lineup tonight. Maybe he could pinch hit again,
yeah,
but he's not going to start. So the question is then, who's in the outfield? Now, the other night, it was a lefty, right? So in a lefty, it's a little bit easier to figure out what they were going to do because, all right, Marsh, instead of sitting, Marsh plays and Bader goes to center field.
Mm-hmm.
Marsh goes to center field. Bader is obviously sitting. Tonight, they're facing a righty. It's Yamamoto out there. So I imagine it's going to be Marsh in
Castellanos
center, Kepler out there, and I think it's Castellanos. I mean, Castellanos hasn't started against a good righty in months, but I don't even know. What is the other option? Weston Wilson?
Well, they could DH Bader and put Schwarber
out there.
I mean, they could.
They could.
Like, that's an option.
They could.
If Bader can't run.
But I wonder if Bader.
And you want his bat in the lineup.
Can Bader even run around the bases? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, or is he just.
I don't know. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, that's.
You know what?
That is one of their
options. If Bader can run the bases, but they don't trust him to play nine innings in the outfield, I would do it.
If he can run the bases, but he can't crab walk.
And put Schwarber.
Yeah.
Then get him in DH and put Schwarber out
that
there.
That is a big outfield. It'd be a challenge for Schwarber. But I mean, I'm desperate right now.
All hands on deck.
We're all prepared, though, for Castellanos in right field, aren't we?
I think so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So. We ready for Castellanos at-bats again?
No.
He hasn't seen a good righty in months. You think this is going to look good tonight?
It has no choice but to look good tonight, Joe. I mean, I understand what you're asking.
He could suck.
He does,
No, I'm saying because it's all hands on deck. Tomorrow, if they don't get this game tonight, tomorrow's going to be a whole lot different day.
You know,
it's going to be different because a lot of these cats aren't going to be. I wholeheartedly believe that there's going to be some swift moves made when it comes to this squad. I really do.
You can't just keep saying all hands on deck. Like,
because that's what that means. It means all hands on deck.
What if the hands are decrepit?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a lot, Kyle.
I'm just saying. If like, the hands don't have to be good.
I look at it like this.
No. They're not.
If you made this trip to L.A., then you have to contribute in some way. And I'm not asking you to give me nine innings, but you better give me something. You have to give me something. That's what I mean when I say all hands on deck. If you're asked to do something that you might not be comfortable doing, then damn it, you have to do it today. Because that's the situation that we're in. What is it, DEFCON 4? It's a DEFCON 4 situation.
We always forget.
Yeah, I think it's DEFCON
4. Is it 4? Is it 1?
I think it's DEFCON 4.
What's worse, the lower number or the higher number?
I think the higher number.
I think lower.
We do this once every six months.
We do, and
then we always forget.
Okay, well, it's DEFCON 1. I think,
I think it's lower the worse.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. DEFCON 4 was not, no, this is no. not DEFCON 4.
Why can't we nail this down?
We do it all the time.
It's a bad look for us. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I know? It's a dire situation. I know that word. Know that better than numbers. So Hugh looks that up. Let's go to.
Oh yeah, it's DEFCON 1.
It's DEFCON 1.
It's called or cocked pistol.
Okay.
All right. Great.
It's the highest level of the military readiness. Oh yeah, we're at DEFCON 1 then. Mm-hmm. We always get it messed up.
Yeah, and 3 months from now we'll do it again and we'll mess it up again.
This doesn't matter.
Okay. Christian in Blackwood is up. What's up, Christian? Christian.
The one was too big for it.
He's at DEFCON 4 is where he is at. Lou in Denver's up. Hey, Lou.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Lou.
I'm kind of pissed off. 42% just want the season to end after all this. Like, come on, what is this, old school Negadelphia BS?
It is soft.
Like, come on,
I mean,
guys.
It's just a baseball game tonight. I'd rather enjoy one more game than have no more games.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have hope, what do you have?
Nothing.
Life.
Yeah, and it's been, and Lou, it's a 162-game season. I can't just roll over and say, let's end this thing
after
two playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been investing a lot of time since April or March.
Just get it over.
Exactly. And it's one game, and if you win this game, it's a 180 shift on the pressure to the Dodgers, right? And I really think it's going to be a split start between Nola and Suarez. I think Suarez comes in at the first sign of danger, but probably around the third or fourth inning. And then maybe they go right into Duran into the ninth. I don't really like the vibes, though, from what I've seen. So I get why people are annoyed. The Castellanos thing just – he should have been thrown out at second base. He was lucky to not get thrown out on the double.
Totally. I mean, they missed the tag. Yeah. I mean, he was safe, but he should not have been safe.
Yeah, that and something about, you know, it was two at-bats in the first game versus Glasnow, who's no slump, but – Schwarber, Harper, maybe they just wanted to see him since he was getting into the game late, but two pretty, you know, fastballs right down the pipe. you'd expect them to be swinging at that. I know it was first pitch, and maybe they're like, well, we got to be patient this time around, but that just seemed to me like a little bit of nerves. And if they could just play freely, they're a talented team. They can win tonight. They can win tonight. You know what? They will win tonight.
There we go. Now we're talking, Lou.
I ain't going home yet.
That's it.
Let's go, baby. L-F-T-T-A-I-L-S.
Let's go, Lou. Appreciate it.
I think it was Let's Go, Phils.
Let's Go, Phils?
I think so.
Yeah. Again, I don't think people realize how challenging the chant of spelling something. Eagles is ingrained in most people.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Phillies chant, you got to think about how do I spell Phillies if I'm chanting
people
it.
People trying, though.
No, I appreciate that.
I am not mad at that, though. I like the effort, man. I do like that.
I do, too. And I agree with the notion that if we can get tonight, it changes the equation of the pressure and the tenor of the series. These things shift very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, and not even everyone can get the Eagles chant down. Like, we've heard Chuck before.
I like how you just take a shot today.
Well, we had the mayor. I mean, we've had a lot around here. It's not the easiest thing. You would think it should be. Yeah, that was a tough one. Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Tyler.
Yo, Joe, Kyle, you.
Tyler.
What's up, man?
So,
he got that cricket. Got that jitterbug.
Last week, Joe, I'm a little bit of a different breed. I'm a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, Hugh, I'm going to be two versions of you tonight.
What's that?
I'm going to be Daniel Douglas and Hennessy Hugh. Because I am going to be taking multiple cold ones to the dome. And somehow, some way, this Phillies team is going, in my heart of hearts, they have to win. They have to win. They're pulling out the powder blues on a non-Thursday.
Tyler gets it.
He does.
On a non-Thursday. This team gets it that their backs are against the wall, and I'm telling you, so this is where you just celebrated winning the National League East. You didn't win 96 games for a reason to go down to the Dodgers. You didn't fly 3,000 miles out of your way just to let them walk all over you. There's a reason why, Joe, I said that I wanted Aaron Nola starting game three, because Aaron has been the longest tenured Philly. He hates losing. He lost here for seven straight years. He lost all my teen years where it was basement, doormat type stuff in the National League East. And both of these games, as you have said, Kyle, even you've said it too, the Phillies have not gotten beat by the Dodgers. They've beaten themselves. They beat themselves. If Teoscar Hernandez doesn't miss that pitch and hit the bomb, and Edmundo Sosa, the bases clearing hit, we win game one.
Mm-hmm.
In game two, if you just ran the bases up, man, we would be talking about
tied
series. So it is something that, again, I didn't call yesterday because I would have had some choice words. I was angry. I was very annoyed because it's not the bottom of the lineup not doing anything.
No, it's the top. It's the top. It's worth $700 million worth of players that have done nothing.
Yes. So I love it from this standpoint. I am hopeful, Joe. This team is going with house money, no pun intended, to L.A. When everybody counts us out, we thrive in the Rocky role. No. We really do. And I'm telling you, for as much as we want to knock this team, I am going against every fiber in my body that just wants to bury them. They will rise from the ashes, and somehow, some way, on these airwaves, less than 24 hours from now, we will be talking about a game four and they somehow found a way to get it done. Because guess what, you guys?
What's up?
They are our guys. They are the fighting Phillies. And
now,
they're not going to go down without a fight. Let's get this W, boys. And happy Wednesday.
You got
happy
it, Tyler. Wednesday. Appreciate it. Closed better. Yeah, I mean, the phone was a little choppy there, but it closed well. Happy Wednesday.
It was acapella. He went acapella today. That's all that was.
His phone was cutting in and out.
I know. It's tough to do the music with that. It's a disaster waiting to happen. Good message, though.
You got to respect the audience.
Yeah, that's what we do around here.
Mm. Every day. Respect them every day.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I don't care about the fans.
I respect you people so much.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I respect them.
No, you know, you were with Chris in Middletown going after them earlier.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I know it. Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Drew.
Oh, hey, guys. Don't get to talk to you as much as I'd like because of work, so I'm happy to have the chance to talk today. We spoke several weeks ago about the issue of, you know, has Kyle Schwarber reached peak Ryan Howard and all that.
Yep.
We had a good conversation about that. Thank you for your service. You know, those five seasons, 50-plus sacks, not a lot of guys can say that in Eagles history. So great job, and love watching you play, man.
Well, thank you.
So, look, it's obviously it's win one game. That's all we got to worry about. And, you know, the point I just wanted to make is it's well-deserved that Schwarber, Harper, Turner are getting a lot of attention for the money they make and the lack of production. Yes. But as we all know, the postseason is about just winning games, whatever it takes, whoever does it. You know, in 08, we got big hits from whether it was Chooch or even Jeff Jenkins, you know, at key moments, you know. So,
well, and Drew, before you go on, 2022, Gene Segura in St. Louis in game one. Like, that happens all the time. Like, you're right. It's not, it could be anyone. Anyone could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the postseason is a small sample size. I mean, Mike Schmidt struggled at times in the postseason, you know. So yes, those guys need to produce. It's a heck of a lot easier to win if they do. But the bottom line is games one and two were winnable games without them, but we didn't win them for a variety of reasons. But Rob Thompson played a big part in it. Okay. You can't put David Robertson and his 1.50 whip back out there for another inning. Okay.
Nope.
He allows base runners, which is the one thing against the Dodgers you cannot do. You have to minimize base runners against the Dodgers. And so for Thompson to think, well, it's okay, he got one out, I'll send him. Okay. Strom's whip is much closer to 1.0. He allows far fewer base runners. He should have started that inning. It made no sense. And then the bunt and all that. And I mean, it's just, I totally agree with you, Joe. And I was already lost. Thompson was already lost to me in postseason managing. He's terrible. He has been terrible for years. Okay. But having used your four best relievers already in that game, I don't know what he's talking about saying. I felt great about our bullpen.
I know. He had Robertson warming up for the 10th. Like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And I know others like Ruben Amaro, I've heard others say, well, you still had Nola and Ranger in the bullpen and things like that. Well, don't talk to me about that. The bottom line is our bullpen was basically spent at that point, and so it made zero sense, zero. And especially with Castellanos, the runner. I mean, if you're Nick Castellanos and you're on second base and Mookie Betts is playing behind you, who is quicker and faster than you in 19 different ways, your biggest concern is, I better not get picked off here. I got to make sure I don't get picked off. You know, and I don't blame him because he's slow as you know what. And so it made no sense. And Rob Thompson blew that game. He blew game one. And I'm sick of him in the postseason. And I just pray to the baseball gods that tonight is a Thompson-free game where we don't need him to do anything.
So, Drew, I'm with you.
So.
I'm with you. Unfortunately, with Nola out there, he's going to be involved. And, Drew, we appreciate it. It's a matter of time. Now, here's my plan. 9 innings. 2 of them go to Nola. Then 4 of them go to Ranger. Or 3 of them go to Nola, 4 to Ranger, and then let's go 2 to Duran. Keep it very simple. 3 pitchers touch the ball tonight. Nola, Ranger, Duran.
I'm okay with that.
Get us to tomorrow night, and Sanchez, take us as far as you could take us, and we'll figure the rest of it out. That's all I got, because anything else that Topper puts his hand in, it's going to get bad. 215-592-9494. We'll check in with you people, your phone calls. Plus, a couple things from yesterday that didn't have much to do with anything, but they could impact things. At least Hugh thinks one of them could. We'll hit that next. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, check the game film. A third of your life is spent in the bed. If your mattress isn't elite, you're losing time of possession battle. Get it right with at the Mattress Warehouse. Right now, save up to 60% store-wide and get your choice of free box spring or a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. Want to upgrade your sleep without blowing the cap? Mattress Warehouse is clearing out the floor, and these deals are designed to save you serious cash. Hit the floor model clearance event and save big while supplies last. And for a limited time, score up to $600 off premium Stearns & Foster and Sealy Posturepedic Elite mattresses, plus an extra $200 off adjustable bases. But act fast, because these deals end October 21st. Plus, don't sleep on 0% interest financing. Plus, Mattress Warehouse signature 1-year lowest price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Do what I did. Upgrade your total confidence at the Mattress Warehouse. Find a store near you at themattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.